I do think that it's a pivotal moment now for people who have been on the fence for buying, because I feel like as soon as everybody gets comfortable and these rates hold out a little bit longer on the dip, I think that they're going to see some changes in prices. I hope, we need to be careful, because then if inflation jumps back up, then we're going to be in trouble again and rates could go up. So
You never
it's going
know.
to be delicate, I think, the next 6 months. But I think for those on the fence, if they're ready, now's a good time to jump in.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further.
Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I'm your host, as always, Yona Weiss. Here on this wonderful podcast, we have an amazing guest once again in the brand new year. Yes, we're recording this at the end of December, but this will be aired in the new year. And I just want to wish everyone a happy new year and hope you are doing well and have your goals set up so you can crush this year. I'm grateful to be here today with Parker Borowski out of Tennessee. We are going to have a wonderful conversation talking about a lot of things, but primarily, I think your focus has been in the short-term rental space, both on the investing side as well as the lending side, which is something we haven't, well, we've talked about short-term rentals a lot in this podcast, but we haven't talked about the lending side very much. And I'm excited to kind of dive into that. But before we do, Parker, just want to wish you a wonderful day and a good morning. And how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. And right back at you. I hope you have a wonderful day as well. Yes, I'm excited to be here. And hopefully I can share some great info for people for the new year so they can reach some of their real estate investing goals.
Absolutely. And before we do, you know, kind of jump in, I'd love for you to give a little bit of a background, you know, who you are, how you got started in the real estate game, and, you know, what you're working on.
Absolutely. So my name is Parker, obviously, and I wear many hats. So I am a mother and an investor of short-term rentals, and then also a lender that specializes in financing for short-term rentals. So I really focus on, there's a lot of intricacies that come with investment real estate financing that a lot of loan officers aren't quite aware of, because they do a lot of primary homes on a day-to-day basis. I'm kind of the opposite of that. So I really love finding creative solutions for all the creative ideas that our entrepreneurs have out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Parker is a little bit humble, but from the bio that I'm reading here, you've closed over 2,000 transactions over, you know, nearly $1 billion in sales volume. So that's pretty impressive, especially for, you know, what I would probably consider a smaller mortgage shop. I mean, I don't know how you judge smaller or big, but yeah, I mean, it's just pretty impressive to see that. And especially someone who's focusing specifically on the short-term rental space, which, just like you said, there's a lot of nuance and there's differences with regard to buying, you know, a single family primary residence versus what someone might call a second home or a vacation home, but also primarily investment properties. And I'd love for you to kind of jump in, just tell us a couple of the really nuances and the differences that one needs to look at when considering a loan on an investment, a short-term rental specifically.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so I think, you know, one of the big things, a lot of people try to calculate their own debt to income ratio. I see a lot of people kind of limit themselves on the front end by Googling information. I'm sure you get that too, people Googling cost segs. And I find that when people, unfortunately, there's not a lot of great lending information online, and definitely not in Facebook groups with people that aren't loan officers answering lending questions. So one of the things I really encourage people to do is to reach out to a loan originator who is familiar, because there are things such as projected rental income that can be used even for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans. A lot of people automatically assume they have to go DSCR because of their debt to income ratio. And depending on how close it is, they may be able to just do a regular Fannie Freddie 15% down investment occupancy loan, utilizing projected rental income. That product gets forgotten quite a bit. So, you know, so it's little things like that. The tax returns really understanding how to look at and calculate their rental income and how that helps offset the debt to income ratio. Also, another place I see people fall short when they come to me and think they can't. 7 out of 10 times clients that come to me and think they have to do a DSCR don't have to do a DSCR.
So before we go a little deeper, can you just take a step back, explain for maybe our listeners who don't know what a DSCR loan is? We love to cover all the basics and everything. And you know what? For me, as someone I actually worked in the mortgage space for a short period of time in the beginning of my real estate journey, but it was one of the biggest intimidation factors that I had getting into real estate was all the jargon and all of the acronyms. It was like, what is all? But you know, you take a little time, you learn them, and then it's like, oh, it's harmless.
No, thank you for reminding me about that. I didn't even think about it. So DSCR is a debt service coverage ratio, and basically, it means it doesn't look at the debt to income ratio. And so if somebody has a debt to income ratio that's disqualifying, or maybe let's say they just started their own business this year and we can't use any income, so there's no income to use for a debt to income ratio, that's an example of when they would need to do that debt service coverage ratio. So what happens then is we review the property itself and get the fair market rents that it should generate, short-term rental or long-term rental, and compare that to the monthly payment. And then as long as it ratios, typically at least a 1-to-1, some products require higher ratios than others. But as long as the projected monthly rents are greater than the monthly payment, that's the main criteria for those loan types.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's used primarily in commercial lending, because we're looking at the debt service. We're looking at, can the rents, which is, you know, it's investment property, it's commercial business property, can that cover the mortgage? Because the lender, in the end of the day, does not want to have to foreclose on the property. They do not want anything to do. So they want to make sure that there's less risk involved on their end.
Absolutely. Yes. Now, the reason I try to qualify clients in other products, if possible, is because that product is a little riskier than the others. So therefore, it has typically a higher interest rate, higher down payment requirement. So if I can get somebody qualified in a second home or investment occupancy loan, I will. But if not, that DSCR is always an option.
I mean, it's important to know, because like you said, people come to you and they're thinking they need to, you know, look at one specific product because that's what they've Googled and that's what Facebook groups are telling them, et cetera. But right. There are a lot, you're saying there are other options. You mentioned the Fannie and Freddie, you know, just simple, I guess, vacation rental, or what do you call it, a second home loan or something like that?
Second home and investment occupancy.
Investment occupancy, got you. So what does that mean? What does that entail?
So it's actually the same loan product. So if you go purchase a primary home using a Fannie Freddie backed loan, the primary, second home, and investment, it's the same product. It's just different occupancy types. So second home, a lot of the short-term rentals that people purchase can fall under this category if they're purchasing in a destination that they also intend to use themselves. Like our Florida properties, gosh, we're probably there a couple months of the year. You don't need to be there for a couple months of the year, but we love going down there. So yeah, so if you purchase a property in an area you intend to use, obviously it may be a week out of the year, a few weekends throughout the year, and then you rent it the rest of the time, totally fine. That's second home occupancy. The benefit there is 10% down as a down payment.
Wow.
And then there's investment occupancy. So again, the same loan type as the second home and primary, just a different occupancy. Investment, so if you did a long-term rental, it would have to go investment occupancy. Or if you're, you know, maybe you've bought multiple properties in the same area, those are going to need to be investment. You can't have multiple second homes. It just doesn't make sense.
In the same area.
The same area.
Right.
You can have them in different areas, but not the same area. And that investment occupancy is 15% down.
Is there a limit on that as how many you can have? I think Fannie has like 10 properties or something is a limit there.
10 finance properties. Yep.
Gotcha.
That brings me to another point. That's another thing I'll really try to do with clients. When you said, what are some of those intricacies? I'll really try to qualify if it's a married couple or even friends or family that want to go in together on a property. If we can qualify the loan under just one of them, Mm-hmm. I'll really encourage them to do that just so that we're not taking up one for both. So I've got couples and families now. I actually have one family where we've now done like 10 in the son, 10 in the mom, 10 in the dad. So they've got 30 conventional loans for their short-term rentals in their business. You know, and not all loan originators will know, especially if they're in the primary home, they'll just say, hey, that's fine. Sure, let's keep you both on there. We're all really encourage people to think through.
That's a really important point. And I think just kind of think a little bit out of the box as well. Someone who may be getting started and may not necessarily have themselves the ability to qualify for a loan for whatever reason that may be, maybe the credit score, or maybe they don't have the income to show, but if they can get a partner who can sign on the loan and, you know, give them something in return, whatever that may be, some partnership involved, that's a great way to qualify for loan products that you may not otherwise be, you know, available to you.
Absolutely. Yes. I've had several do that, start with a partner. And then once they have some rental income showing on their tax returns, you know, then they can work their way to qualifying. Yeah, absolutely. Great suggestion.
Yeah. Now, what about you as an investor, right? You also operate and run short-term rentals. How long have you been doing that for?
Since 2018. So gosh, almost 5 years now.
That's pretty
good. No, it has been 5 years. Feels like 100.
Yeah, I know, right? It's almost, the time flies. But what's your favorite thing about actual side of that business? Because it is a business in and of itself, right? Besides for the lending, obviously, is one thing. The running of the short-term rentals is something else.
Yeah, it's been great. So we've got 8 in the Smoky Mountain and 4 in the Panhandle of Florida. And it's kind of, addictive. So especially after you get this first few, you know, it's like some days I love this and other days it's why did I sign up for this? What am I doing? So yeah, we started in 2018, started buying in the Smokies. And as most people know, you know, it's pretty awesome back then. It's still awesome. It's different now, but it's still awesome. The most recent one we purchased in the Smokies was January of 22. So almost 2 years ago. But yeah, it's been great. You know, it's an experience. My husband and I do manage all of our rentals. I've seen a shift. So it used to be you could just set it and forget it on Airbnb and it was fine. Now that there are a lot more people in the game and on Airbnb, you know, you've got to step it up a little bit, pay a little more attention to listings and rankings. And so I do encourage, more so now than ever, I encourage folks out there, if you're in this, to get involved with some of those groups, the short-term shop, build short-term rental wealth with Bill Faith. I actually got in, Avery Carl is how I was introduced to short-term rentals back in 2018. And so, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. I mean, she's amazing. And what she's done for the short-term rental community, and specifically the Smoky Mountains, I think she's literally single-handedly changed the entire area of that part of the country. Which is pretty impressive. Talk about a change, market changes, right? When you want to see something, and I always tell her that, you know, if I want to invest in a property, I want to know where she's opening up a new brokerage in a new market. Yeah. They open, I think, 10 or so different markets, and that's little by little they're taking over. But that's pretty impressive. And so by you self-managing your own properties and doing that, I mean, essentially, from what I've seen from a lot of other people, it's literally like changed their lives in terms of the financial independence that it's created and the ability to, it's a business. It's still, like you said, you can't just set it and forget it. There's some time needs to be spent in materially participating in it for that side of things, but also just, you know, taking care of, making sure the business runs well. But what's the goal? I mean, essentially in doing that, obviously you mentioned at the very beginning, you're a mother. So obviously you're a family person and that seems like that's an important role. So how do you balance, you know, running the family, running the business, running the mortgage business? Seems like a lot of hats to wear.
It is a lot of hats to wear. I have a wonderful husband and a great partner and on the family and short-term rental side. And then I have an awesome team behind me on the mortgage side as well. So I probably don't give them enough credit publicly as they should, but they're amazing. So I've got an LO partner, Rob, who handles a lot of the pre-approvals and getting loans through. And then got Melissa and Lisa and Casey, and they all help process everything and get this. Yeah, they're amazing. a lot of the, if anyone out there has done anything with us, I'm sure they'll know all those names. So, but yeah, you know, when it comes to balance, I don't know if there is such a thing. Everyone says balance, but I don't know that there is. It's more just wake up every day and make it happen. So now I will say though, so I've never liked property management companies. I think they've always, you know, especially the big ones, the Vacasas and then the Smokies. Yeah, you know, Smokies was built on short-term rentals. And right. But back then it was management companies before Airbnb and Vrbo became as popular. And I just feel like these big management companies don't do the job of maintenance, of treating customers right. But what I have seen that's really cool emerge in the last year or so are co-hosts. And I like these co-hosts because these are people that typically own, not all of them, but most of them own their own properties. So they really understand the experience. And now that everything like the rankings and listings and marketing is becoming more important, I don't think it's a bad idea to have a I've actually thought about it for myself to look at doing that just to have somebody take over some of those aspects. So yeah, so do I'm still not a fan of property management, but I do encourage people to look at co-hosts.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, it's very different than having a property manager. I mean, it's having more of a partner in a way, but someone who really does care about the customer. Like you said, unfortunately, larger property management companies are not going to care as much. I mean, they're taking a huge amount of the revenue, but they're not necessarily focusing on, no, I'm not saying that none of them do, but I think the co-hosts, and especially if they're people who are driven, like you said, they have their own properties and they're driven, the more revenue they can create, the more experience they can create, the greater, you know, income they're going to get, essentially, especially if it's some sort of partnership that's worked out like that. Whereas the property manager typically just taking like a flat fee or flat percentage. And so they're not incentivized as much to take care of that. That's fascinating. But what you're saying in terms of the algorithms and the platforms are using, it makes a huge difference. I mean, if you, especially in markets that are so, I mean, there's so many choices, right? If someone goes and like, I want to, you know, in the Smokies with a hot tub or whatever it is, they're going to have a plethora of choices out there. So how do you get your listing to the top? How do you make sure to have, you know, the best reviews, et cetera? Some tips, some tricks on that that you've learned over the years?
Well, I'm working on it. So our properties have always done well. But I will say when mortgage was just insane and before my husband quit his WT job, that was some of our listings kind of went to the wayside a little. We still did well, though, maybe because of our longevity. We had good reviews and everything. But I recently had pictures remade and I realized to my horror that one of our small little studio cabin listings had like 4 pictures on it. It was really bad. On Airbnb. So we had made pictures like a year and a half ago, and I guess they only got updated on Vrbo, but not Airbnb. Still booked. Couldn't tell you why, but it still did well, but now I'm sure it will do tremendously better.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, my advice there obviously is check your listings, refresh them, make sure you've got the right wording in there, excitement, headlines to grab attention as they come in. And pricing, you know, you've got to, like, we use Price Labs, love Price Labs. They've got to really actively, Price Labs isn't even set it and forget it because they're not always 100% accurate. You got to stay on top of that and stay competitive.
You're saying it's not just like you said before, it's not just like set it and forget it. There are these softwares that you're using to try to figure out what the best price is for the right time, the right place. It's not just like one standard set fee every night of the year, you know, seasonally. Obviously, those prices changes, but even maybe if you're having longer bookings, does that change the price potentially?
Yeah, you mean like longer stays?
Yeah, exactly. Like if I'm staying for 3 nights as opposed to 7 nights, am I going to get a better price?
Yeah, I mean, not always, but I would recommend that, you know, a discount for like a 5-night stay, a 7-night right. stay to encourage those longer bookings because that's just less wear and tear, less turnover, less hassle when you can get the longer stays, for sure.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of softwares, I mean, Price Labs, you mentioned that's one. Are there any other like softwares that you have, you know, picked up that are really like, and there's like hundreds of them when it comes to the short-term rental space specifically. But, you know, besides for the, obviously the Airbnb, the VRBO, and then these Price Labs things, what other type of softwares and things that are really helping you to stay on top of the game?
think the most important one, especially with multiple properties, is going to be the PMS system or property management system. And so I've been using Guesty, which has been good. I don't have a lot of complaints about it. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. We're actually switching to OwnerRes, though, just because I feel like OwnerRes is a little more robust, has more options, can do a few more things. And I think it'll be an easier platform to. We're also looking at doing direct bookings and with our own website.
Okay.
And OwnerRes seems to, I think, support that a little bit more than Guesty. But Guesty's been great. So for somebody who just wants something simple, easy, straightforward, doesn't have as many properties or complications, I think Guesty is fantastic. For those that want to dig in a little more, you know, definitely look at OwnerRes.
Yeah. And like you said, taking it offline, I know some investors that have had extreme, you know, tremendous success in bringing in, you know, people through their own website as opposed to through Airbnb or through other platforms, because in one sense, you're able to kind of like own that lead, so to speak, or that guest, and you're not subject to the fees that come along with Airbnb, et cetera, as well as just the randomness that you're subject to. And especially people may have a lot more success with return, you know, customers when they're booking through your own website. So that's an important factor, I think, that it's underestimated a lot, because people think, oh, I can only put up the property on Airbnb and VRBO, whatever, and then, you know, that's it. But no, it does take some marketing. It does take obviously some effort in doing that, but I think there's a lot of potential. Now, I'm speaking not from experience, just from what I've spoken to and heard from other hosts and other people who have been successful in doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I encourage people too, is that, you know, don't be intimidated. If you're thinking about getting into the short-term world, don't be intimidated by all this information. Like, really just join some of those big Facebook groups, because there's a lot of support. Don't listen to the lending advice on there or the tax advice, but the software advice and the booking advice and, you know, how to manage, that's a ton of great resources.
Yeah. How to deal with disgruntled guests, right?
Yes. Yes. Huge support systems.
And absolutely. Bears.
And bears.
Have you had that? You've had some of that? Because you have properties in the Smokies, right? You mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've definitely had a bear ruin two hot tub covers this year in the same cabin. And then I had to do a little research, like, why are they trying to get in the hot tub? Well, apparently, they like the material. I can't remember what it's called, but the material that a lot of them are made out of, they like to chew on it. Mm. Okay. So we're looking at getting a hard tub.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't, you know, go in.
Right. They do sometimes. I don't think they didn't get it open, but they, yeah. Tried.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I mean, think about it. You have to deal with bears, but you know, you're out in the nature, you're out in the natural surroundings, you'll deal with that, I'm sure. Coming in the new year, I know, obviously, like we said, we're starting a new year. Interest rates have dropped a bit, and hopefully will continue to do so. I think that's been a big factor for a lot of people in terms of finding new properties. But I mean, obviously, the markets are a factor as well, you know. I've seen a decrease during 2023 in terms of the lending. And then do you see, you know, that increasing potentially in the coming year?
Definitely. Yeah, we definitely had a big drop in 2023. Just to give you an idea, so we closed $323 million in 22, and we're going to end at about $120 in 23. So pretty big dip, yeah. And understandably. I will say, though, to your point with the rates, I feel like, and I'm not an overly optimistic person. Generally, I'm pretty real. I'm positive, don't get me wrong, but I like to be pretty real. So, you know, when rates started going up, everyone's like, oh, they'll stop in 6 months. I was like, let's just see. And I keep a really close eye on the pattern of the market. And so what's happened in the last year is rates would spike and then they would dip. And then they would spike and dip and spike and dip. But the overall trend was increase. Mm-hmm. And so what I've seen different with this last cycle of when the rates have dipped, I'm starting to feel a little better now because I feel like we've broken the cycle, because rates dipped. And then instead of spiking again and dipping, they dipped and then dipped and then dipped. So now the rate pricing you see today is about where we were June of last year, well, this year. So yeah, so we've gone back about 6 months at this point and hoping that this pattern holds. So I am now optimistic that we're in a downward trend. Then maybe a couple spikes along the way, but I think again, overall, like the pattern last year, I think it'll just be backwards.
Right.
So.
And how long have you been in the lending business? Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think that's a relevant, very good, relevant question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, gosh, 2016, so almost 8 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, you've seen a couple of the cycles, you know, go through, especially with COVID and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that it's a pivotal moment now for people who have been on the fence for buying, because I feel like as soon as everybody gets comfortable and these rates hold out a little bit longer on the dip, I think that they're going to see some changes in prices. I hope, you know, we need to be careful, because then if inflation jumps back up, then we're going to be in trouble again and rates could go up. So it's going to be delicate, I think, the next 6 months. But I think for those on the fence, if they're ready, now's a good time to jump in.
I heard, and I don't know if this is correct, but I heard recently a stat about the amount of time that the average investor holds a property for. And I think something really shocking was that, especially with short-term rentals, people for their first property, I think like 50% of people sell it within the first year or 18 months or something like that, which just because, you know, people want to get into it and then they just, you know, they don't succeed or they have other things come up in their life or whatever. I'm sure there's a lot of factors. But I mean, have you seen that type of, you know, transaction, you know, happening? People, I mean, you probably don't see on the sales side as much, but I mean, have you seen that, or is that just, I'm making that up?
No, I have, but I think a big part of that, which I don't know how it would be tracked. I think you're right, but I think a lot of that was people selling to get the equity out to purchase bigger properties.
Interesting.
There's a lot of 1031 exchanges, and especially between 2018 and early this year, I mean, just huge jumps in value.
Sure.
Right. Which I think wasn't seen. So I'm not sure when I've heard that, and I'm not sure the fan of that data, but if I had to guess, I bet a lot of that was people upgrading. Because a lot of my clients, actually, it's the opposite. One of the reasons we do so much volume is repeat clients. Mm-hmm. They typically purchase 2, 3. I've got several clients now that have 10. Or 20 or 30.
That's awesome.
So, yes. So I think that the people I've talked to personally that have actually reached out and said, hey, this isn't doing as well as I thought it was. It's happened maybe 5 times that they've reached out to me and said that. What was interesting to me is every time it was with a property management company.
Interesting.
And so I really encourage them to try to do some self-managing. And I maybe heard back from one or two that said that was it. I don't know if the other three did. Yeah. So, but to your point too, it's not for everybody. I think you kind of said, what's the goal, right?
Right.
I think, and that's an important question for people to ask themselves. So, you know, I don't want to leave my W-2 job, but I could, you know, we've said, I'd like to have the freedom and the option. And so if mortgage were to fall apart tomorrow, I could live on the revenue from our rentals. So I feel good about that. I can retire when I want to. So that's what investing in these rentals has allowed for me. Mm-hmm. And that freedom, those options are what's important to me. But for somebody else, maybe they hate their W-2 job now and they just want out. You know, maybe they're like, 2 years, get me out. So, sure. Yeah, so I definitely think that why is important.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Parker, I want to transition now to what we call the final four. These are the four questions that I ask all my guests. And the first one is, what's the worst job that you ever had?
For a very brief moment in time, I was administrative for a dating service. And so, yeah, I think cool. I was like 22 or 23 at the time. And first of all, I am not an admin. Admin is not my strength to start with. I am more the creative thinker, the problem solver. But yeah, that was my least. It was very systematic, and it just was not fun.
Yeah, I'm sure you had some interesting experiences and interactions, though, because that sounds like a job that would come with that. But yeah, the admin aspect, I definitely hear that.
Yeah, maybe if it was like the sales or the like matching people, that probably would have been fun. But the admin part was not. I also cleaned horse stalls at one point, but I liked that better than the admin.
There you go. I guess that says it all. What's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Actually, just recently, I don't know why it took me so long to read this, but The Pumpkin Plan really has been fantastic. So just a different way to think about not only short-term rentals, but also a mortgage. I mean, there's just so many, it's so applicable to so many things and just really helped me kind of get more of those juices flowing and kind of that reflection that I think I needed.
So, it's the first time I've actually heard of that book. Can you tell me briefly, like, what's the premise? What's it about?
It's really about the background. The reason it's called The Pumpkin Plan is because it's about a farmer who has figured out how to grow the world's biggest, huge, massive pumpkins. They have pumpkin contests. You know, that's not just chance. You don't just plant a bunch of pumpkins and say, hey, I've got a great pumpkin. So, you know, it's really about how to, you know, have that the discipline and the foresight and the insight into being the biggest, best pumpkin. But deeper than that, it goes into the whys and the hows, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one of my challenges this past year has been, you know, I've always done a great job for clients. I've never had a problem keeping clients. We get referrals to us, you know, but this last year has been really tough with interest rates because everybody's rate shopping.
Sure.
And I get it. I understand it. I don't like it. It drives me nuts, but I understand it. So I had to think, okay, we're not always going to be the lowest price, right? So this book really helps me identify what is it about my team? What is it about me that produces this huge pumpkin? And the one thing we're really good at is complicated. So, you know, we have good pricing. Don't get me wrong. Our rates are great. But there have been some cases with some credit unions or banks where they just hold them in-house and we don't have those products.
Right.
But we can do complicated. And that's where we really shine. So it's kind of helped me refocus the mortgage biz and where to take that. And I think with rates coming down, you're not going to see those big variations on different products like that for a while. But yeah, so that book is really about kind of honing in and figuring out what your seed is to grow your tremendous pumpkin.
Love it. That's awesome. Okay. Well, I'm going to make sure to put that in the show notes. And that's definitely getting on my reading list, which has grown every time I have a new guest on the episode. But no, it's always great to have a new book there to check out. Third question is, what's a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
Public speaking.
Well, I think you're doing great at this. This is, but that's definitely an awesome skill to have. And I've mentioned this before. Occasionally, people mention this as a skill, and I always recommend the book Steal the Show. Or is it called Steal the Show? I think it's called Steal the Show by Michael Port. Probably one of the best public speaking books that I've ever come across. Michael Port was he's an actor and, you know, Broadway and television actor, and also one of the biggest, you know, sought after public speakers, keynote speakers, etc. So definitely recommend the book Steal the Show. Put it on your reading list.
Awesome. Yeah, no, absolutely. I will. It's really funny. I have to share this. So I did a little public speaking gig in Orlando a couple months ago. And thank goodness it was a smaller crowd. And thank goodness I had a friend there. I went on stage and my mouth, it just got really dry. Like, my mouth has never been so dry in my life. And to the point where my lips were sticking to my teeth. So embarrassing. And so my friend saw this, brought me a bottle of water. I was very appreciative for. Oh. And then I proceeded to try to drink it and it poured down the front of my shirt. So it was the crowd was great. You know, I just told him, I was like, you can't take me anywhere. And everything was fine after that. So I figured if I can survive that, I'll be okay.
That's right. Some people would make them, you know, kind of close them up to try to do it again.
Definitely an experience. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, good luck with that. And fourth and final question is, what does success mean to you?
Kind of what I touched on earlier. I think for me, success is twofold. One, it's creating that freedom and those choices of what do I want to wake up and do today? And yeah, some people have to go to work. I mean, I guess there's always a choice, but in order to survive, you know, they have to wake up and go to that W-2 job. They don't have other alternatives. And so I feel like success is setting yourself up to have more of those opportunities, to have more choices and more freedoms. So yeah, that's really, and I feel like when you get to that point, and then also I think it helps because then you can do what you love. I mean, I love doing mortgages. That's why I still do this, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's like rentals. Some days I'm like on top of the world, and other days I'm like, why am I subjecting myself to this? But for the most part, you know, I really love helping others, and I love others achieve their successes.
Right.
To see them have options and grow and their excitement. And so, I see success as having options.
Awesome. Love it. Wow, Parker, this has been awesome. I'm so grateful we've had the opportunity to catch up today and learn more about the mortgage business and short-term rentals. Really been insightful. Finally, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they want to?
Yeah, so I do work for Movement Mortgage. That we're a team within Movement. We're actually about to launch a website in the next 30 days for our team. And that is, it'll be Wealth Builders Mortgage Group. It'll be wealthbuildersmortgage.com is okay. The website. But they can also find me on Facebook or email. So I don't know if we can put those up somewhere for them.
Yeah, put it up. Tell us what it is. We'll make sure to put it in the show notes. There's a whole, everyone needs to know, there's a whole show notes every podcast has. So you just click the information icon on the podcast and pulls up all this great, you know, I know it has exact transcription, but usually my team puts a summary of the podcast and the timestamps, as well as all the information that we're going to share here.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Oh, and one more thing, because this is important to your business, Yona. I get a lot of questions all the time about cost segs and qualifying for future purchase and debt to income ratio. So I want to assure everybody that cost segs are fantastic and do not hurt your income, because we will add every penny of depreciation back into your rental income calculation. And I just get that question so many times. I figured this was a great platform to let everyone know cost segs are great. Do them.
Yes. Thank you so much for mentioning that. And the great thing about you is that you know that, because there are so many lenders out there, believe it or not, that don't for some reason. And that messes up a lot of people, which is why they get the question, because they're like, well, I went to my, you know, local bank, and they're like, no, you have no income because you have all this depreciation deduction. So makes no sense. It's part of the, you know, Fannie lending guidelines is you add back depreciation, but for some reason, people don't do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you again for taking the time. It's really been a lot of fun, and I hope everyone got as much value as I did out of this. And I just want to thank you, like I said, because I'm repeating that, but I want to thank our listeners as well for joining us all the way to the end once again. And remember, until next time, the best advice comes only when you ask.
Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.